The views expressed in this show are those of the host, Jack Angry, and do not reflect the views of the management of our parent company of SultryShopping.com or the Midwest Dom Society. Welcome to the Jack Angry Show. I'm your host, Jack Angry. This is our broadcast dated the 31st of March, 2009. Normally we do this on the weekends, but I wanted to get this show taken care of. We've been off the air for a while, and I do apologize for that. Well, I hope you've had a chance to listen to the show I just did recently, and the shows that we did on our other podcast hosting service at mypodcast.com, which you can still Google by checking, by simply inputting Jack Angry under in any search bar. Now on to current things. April the 15th of this year will be the 33rd anniversary of the passing of my mother, Betty, who was a very wonderful person. She had touched the lives of all her children, myself, my brother, and my older sister. She had emphysema and had a running battle with that for probably 7 to 8 years before she finally succumbed to it. I believe the date was April the 14th of 1976. Or I'm sorry, 1979. So this would actually be the 30th anniversary of her passing. It's been a long time. There has not been a day go by that we, myself and my other siblings, don't think of her. Normally, this is not the tone of the show we do here at the Jack Angry Show, but I did want to take a minute or two to remember her and celebrate her life. And that will lead me into the next part of the show, which is a tribute to a friend, that someone who had a big impact on me during my childhood and who helped me through those rough times, whether they know they did it or not. And that would be the legendary horror movie host, Count Gore Duvall. And we'll get back to that in a moment, but I did want to just take a few minutes to talk about my mother and the effect she had on me. And, you know, the hardest thing for Jack to have done during that time was to watch her go through that long period of illness. I don't know if you know anything about what emphysema can do, or nowadays they call it COPD, or chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder. That is a truly, truly horrific way to die. The only ways I could feel that would rival it would be to be in the end times caused by a case of, by an uncontrollable or terminal case of cancer, or of course nowadays with the HIV or AIDS virus. I could not imagine a truly more horrific way to end, to have your life come to an end, than to suffer through this disease. And in essence of that fact, that's why your old buddy Jack here has quit smoking. He's been quit for like almost 6 months. Actually, the 16th of April, it will be 6 months. I was a pipe smoker for many years, and there have been times I've been tempted to go back to it, but I take a moment to think back to my mother's illness and what she went through, being on oxygen and just the day-to-day struggle to even to breathe. And then the day she passed, my brother and myself, we were in junior high school, I believe like eighth or ninth grade, just going into high school, and we were called and saying there was some kind of emergency at home and somebody was coming in to pick us up. Well, we didn't even put two and two together at the time until our sister, you know, came to pick us up and basically said mom had passed away. I mean, just the suddenness. She had been in and out of the hospital several times in the preceding like 2 years. She'd always managed to make a recovery, and this time it didn't happen. I mean, for basically a 13-year-old kid who is, you know, the biggest things in your life you worried about at that time were, well, when were you going to go see the next Star Wars film that came out, or who were you going to ask out to, like, junior prom or something like that? Suddenly, to be confronted with this is truly mind-numbing. I mean, we had a fairly large family, uncles, a grandmother who was staying with us and helping, you know, look after myself and my younger brother, our sister, aunts and uncles. So we were lucky enough to have a large family. The magnitude of preparing funeral arrangements, and then the mind-numbing feeling that follows it is truly beyond belief. I mean, I sit back today, being 43. I've had my shares of ups and downs in my life. I've had my share of relationships. I was a homeowner. I have the same bills and expenses that many of you out there do, including car payments, rent payments, work, that sort of thing. But then to sit there and deal with that, you can't really imagine it. You can't really understand it unless you've gone through and done it. Just the deal, the ordeal of just having to go make the actual final arrangements, picking out of a funeral, setting up the funeral service, picking out of a casket, the legalities of opening a grave and preparing for a funeral. You have to go through all of these social courtesies, you know, of having people call at the house to express their condolences, and you just feel numb inside, just totally numb. And sitting there looking back on that, you wonder how the hell you ever got through it all. Because of the fact that it is so, so mind-numbing. And it's so, I don't even know how to describe it. But, you know, you wonder, you sit there now, some 30 years later, and you wonder, how did you ever get through it? How did I survive this? But then you start thinking back to the better memories, the one memory about my mother that sticks in my mind is Jack in the Box tacos. And this is a woman, I don't care if it was 6 o'clock on a Sunday morning in the middle of a snowstorm or a monsoon, she had to have her Jack in the Box taco. And I can recall a lot of mornings being woken up, my mother preparing the portable oxygen tank that she had to take to just to even breathe, rousting myself and my brother and my grandmother out of bed, usually 7, 8, 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning, because Jack in the Box in Washington, D.C., or in Maryland in the suburbs, they were actually open that early. A lot of them didn't close. You know, she would be telling us that, come on, I want some tacos, so let's go get it. And then, you know, for Sunday brunch, is any better word, it would be consist of my brother and myself getting Big Jack sandwiches, my grandmother getting fish sandwiches, which she liked, and my mom would always have the same order, invariably, 3 Jack in the Box tacos. And I don't care how sick she was or how much trouble she was having with her breathing, she would eat those tacos even if it took her all morning to do it. Because when you are on oxygen, the oxygen has it's a double-edged sword. Yes, it does help you breathe, but it also dries out and desiccates lung tissue to the point where it burns your lungs out. I mean, in some ways, many ways, progressing, advancing the emphysema along. But that is one memory that has always stuck with me, and seeing the resurgence in the Jack in the Box commercials and the Hang in There Jack campaign, and if you want to find out more about that, you can go to www.hanginthejack.com or Google Jack in the Box. The resurgence of these commercials brought a lot of those memories back, and they were good memories. I mean, just to see my mother sitting there, you know, on a Sunday morning eating those tacos, and for for that period of time, she was able to forget about her illness. She enjoyed always going out for drives. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Takes a moment here. Jack's just got to get him a little control of himself. Just to go out with her children, her mother. Our father had passed away about probably 10 years before. So, I mean, she had, even with her abilities, she, you know, was tried to do the best she could for us. She was government service, so thank God she had the pension and everything. We were never really wanted for anything. And we had a house. We had never wanted for anything. There was always food. You know, there was always, bills were always paid. The lights were never turned off. None of that. So she had worked herself very hard to provide for us kids. And I can only say thank you, you know, because of the fact she did give us a good childhood. And in today's, with the situation with the economy and all others, all the other things, the war, the upheavals that are going on in your personal life and in, with the country at large, you know, I take solace in those memories. But I just wanted to say, wherever you are, excuse me, wherever you are, Mom, you did good. Okay, thank you for your patience, and I do appreciate that. Sorry about that. It did take your old buddy Jack a little bit of time to get a hold of himself. And again here, I did want to talk to you briefly here. This is kind of just the beginning of several tributes I'm going to do to Count Gore Duvall. I just wanted to take just a little bit of time today and talk about, you know, the effect that he had on me as a person and, you know, my wanting to get into broadcasting, because the particular caliber he brought to his performances. I was fortunate enough to watch when he ran the classic horror film Night of the Living Dead. And in case you don't know, that was one of the first uncut broadcast of that. And that actually drew a lot of controversy from the studios and from the drew a lot of controversy onto the station itself. There was, I recall, quite a few letters written, and I can recall, you know, them basically, no, we've been getting during one of the breaks, Count Gore did say we've been getting a lot of heat, and, you know, it's been suggested that maybe we stop the broadcast at this point, and it was, no, we're going to go ahead with it, you know, and we're going to run the movie. You know, I can recall that movie. I can recall the visits of many of the penthouse pets that were that had been on there. I recall this one bit where Count Gore was talking with this disembodied brain through a stethoscope-like prop device, and it was just the whole give and take of that exchange was just absolutely hilarious. It was. And I remember this was after my mother's illness and passing, and it was in that period, you know, where you're still trying to deal with a lot of things, and you're trying to deal with the grief of it all, and, you know, but there are times, and those times were extremely welcome when you could take a respite from all that, and just let yourself go, laugh, and have a good time. Now, I notice here that Count Gore Duvall is being hailed as one of the first horror movie hosts on the internet. I think that's a title that's richly deserved. I remember watching Count Gore Duvall in the early days with Creature Feature. I also remember another alter ego of Captain 20, and those characters did have a lot of effect on me because they entertained people. They, not just the kids, I know a lot of parents that would sit there and say, oh, well, what did Count Gore do on the movie last night? They would actually talk about this. Little group in our neighborhood, many of them watched Creature Feature, and they would, they talk about what Count Gore did, or their kids would talk about Captain 20 and what happened on there. I can recall there'd been a transition period where they'd changed sets and props from one thing to another, and they had a whole little storyline that went along with that. And, and they did some of the similar things on the Creature Feature show. So, I did want to, for this first part, I did want to take a moment to, just bring those, share those experiences with you, my listeners, and the fans of the Jack Angry Show. I hope that you'll take a moment to go to Count Gore's website. It's countgore.com. It's very informative. Here in Omaha, where I am, we don't have any horror movie hosts. The last ones we had were in like the early 2000s, which was the son of our local institution, Dr. Sanguinary, and who I'd had the opportunity to meet on several occasions because my aunt, after my mother's passing, we had moved here to Omaha because my grandmother was getting to the point where, because of reasons of her health and other things, she couldn't take care of myself and my brother. Actually, myself and my brother ended up being her caregivers for like 13 years. So we had all moved in with my uncle on his property. He had a rather large acreage, and we were able to build a house and set that up. So it was a good time in our lives. But I remember meeting Dr. Sanguinary because my aunt worked at a restaurant as a bartender. It was Chew's Chop Suey House in Omaha, Nebraska. It's been closed for years, but after the taping of the shows around 11:30, midnight, 12:30, whatever, he would come in for a drink, and he would often, still come in his Dr. Sanguinary makeup. Why? I don't know. His real name, if I remember correctly, was Dick Jones, and he would come in, and it was, hey, Sue, how's it going? He would sit at the bar just talking about the events of the day. Sometimes he'd do it as Dr. Sanguinary, and, I remember we had been there, kids were allowed in the bar after a specific time, and as long as you just drank soda, you were fine. And I was sitting there having a soda, and this guy comes in, and it's Dr. Sanguinary. So he actually said, hi, how you doing, and it was quite a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Now, I am going to keep this a little brief right now, but again, I hope that you've enjoyed these reminiscences, and I will be bringing the next show we do will be a more in-depth show on Gore Duvall. This is kind of just a little teaser to bring you into it, and we'll talk about some of the other horror movie hosts that many of us might know and hopefully many of us love. But again, I can only say to Count Gore, thank you for everything. You have the title of being the first horror host on the internet, and that's an honor that's well deserved. I look forward to being able to make your reacquaintance, and that you'll continue to be out here on the net and entertaining us all and making us all laugh and feel good for a long time to come. I'm your host, Jack Angry, and this has been the Jack Angry Show. And remember, America, wake up. It's time to wake up and see what's going on around you. If you wake up and look at truly what goes on around you, you're never going to be screwed over. So, America, wake up, be alert, and have a good week. Thank you.